Right. Please hold for the next available representative.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
It's Dr. Drew. Midday Live with Lauren Savant.
Welcome back to Midday Live with me, Lauren Savant. Dr. Drew has the day off. In his place is the very, very fair-minded civil rights attorney, Leo Terrell.
My pleasure, Lauren. Glad to be here.
Are you?
Super happy.
I couldn't tell if I was picking
ecstatic.
Up a bit of sarcasm.
Even less is happy I'm here. The Dodgers.
I'm happy you're here. They're happy you're here. Our listeners are happy you are here.
Thank you.
There has been some breaking news just moments ago on this Saudi Arabia situation with the missing journalist Jamal Khashoggi. We are now hearing that the Saudis are preparing to admit that the journalist was killed during what they're calling an interrogation gone wrong. Here to talk more about it with us is Matthew Brodsky. He is a senior fellow and security studies group, Middle East and geopolitical analyst, and he joins us now. Matthew Brodsky, are you there?
I'm there. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being with us. What do you make of this, the Saudis preparing perhaps to come clean on what actually happened to Jamal Khashoggi?
Right, and this has certainly been 2 weeks of an event in which there has been no shortage of unverified reporting, and so this may in fact happen. It seems that CNN and others are running with the story, but until it's actually out there from the Saudis, I'm still curious to see what happens. If it turns out that in fact it was Saudi Arabia that set this up, and then as they're claiming, according to these reports, they'd be saying that this is it was meant as an interrogation and that it went wrong, and they ended up killing him. If that's the case, then yes, there's going to end up being repercussions, and it opens up a fairly large discussion within the foreign policy establishment in Washington as to what we're doing in the Middle East and how we're going about it, because this type of event isn't just it's horrific if it occurred as is being reported. But beyond that, it's really something that goes in line with a lot of what dictatorships have been doing, whether they're monarchs or whether they are secular leaders in the Arab world for a long period of time. So,
Matthew, this is Leo Trout. I want to be very honest and upfront with the KBC listener to get your opinion on this. What does the Saudis have over us? Let me tell you what I'm referring to.
$110 billion arms
deal. Yeah, because here we are talking about the possibility of a murder by interrogation. That doesn't make sense to me, given the nature of this person's occupation. He's a person from the media. We have the Saudis, who are, let's say, 200 years behind time regarding women's rights. They're allowing women possibly to drive cars. 19 of the terrorists involving the 2001 attack on this country were from Saudi Arabia. There's a report, the 9/11 Commission report, has never released that information due to whatever blocking that report.
Fly Bin Laden's family
right
out of
my US? Point is this. Also, when do we put a value on someone's life over selling planes to the Saudis? So I'm just trying to figure out, what do the Saudis have over the American government that gives them this special protection? One final point. Their textbooks ignore or fail to acknowledge the existence of Israel. This is the most anti-Semitic country in the world. Is it strictly strategic? Just tell me, what am I missing?
Right. See, you bring up some good points. First of all, the relationship is almost entirely transactional, which is to say, unlike our relationship with Israel, in which we view them as having the same values and being democratic, open society, vibrant press, and what have you, this is when you're dealing with Saudi Arabia, you're basically dealing with the fact that we have military to military and intelligence cooperation that's important in the Middle East, and that we work with them to stabilize global energy markets. Now, beyond that, the fact is that we've been relying for about 70 years on Saudi Arabia as a cornerstone for this, for the free flow of oil. Now, in the past few years, we've gotten to a point where the new crown prince has been wanting to reform the country and has put together a plan to do so by 2030, which, if you read it, is actually quite promising. And yes, he has given let females drive. And of course, he's now been letting people into movie theaters, things that, of course, from an American perspective, you would just look at and say, well, duh, of course.
Are they doing those things so that we'll turn a blind eye to the egregious human rights violations, what they're doing in Yemen, all of that stuff?
No, because they're doing it essentially because they realize that the whole oil relationship is not a long-term solution. So you have someone from the younger generation coming along realizing he has to modernize the society, the economy of Saudi Arabia into the future. And he's basically doing what Ataturk in Turkey did right after World War I, which was to recognize that you can't be a modern, you can't have a modern Turkish state without using the women, without giving women employment and equal opportunity, because it's half the population. So on one hand, there's a lot to what MBS or the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has been promising to do, which would benefit the United States and the region. Unfortunately, it would appear that he still does things that dictators do, which is very unfortunate, especially when you look at the rest of the region.
Yeah.
So we happen to be paying a lot of attention to this specific case as opposed to many other cases going on, even in Turkey, who, of course, is the one saying that it has all this information that it hasn't released, which actually...
Well, and also, there's a history between Turkey and Saudi Arabia that might come into play here.
Exactly.
The president has said he's spoken to MBS, the king, and he says that he denied any wrongdoing or knowing anything about what happened to Jamal Khashoggi. He said he is sending his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to meet with the king immediately. Senator Lindsey Graham here at home said there will be hell to pay if the missing journalist was in fact killed, as has been described. He said this would open up a floodgates for, basically upsetting the international community if it's proven true. What do you make of that? Is it just political grandstanding?
Well, okay. Congress will have a very strong response. And that's something that we've seen also when it comes to Russia, and the president can have a different response. Obviously, Congress controls purse strings. So number one, the president has been saying that there's like $110 billion tied up into arms purchases from Saudi Arabia, but only $14 billion or so of that is actually signed and ready to go. We could put a halt to some of that. But at the same time, even when you talk about Yemen and what's horrible going on there, there's a larger context, which is between Iran trying to take over the Middle East, which is fueling the war in Yemen, and is also obviously responsible for keeping Assad in power and is essentially in control of Lebanon. So this has caused the Sunni powers in the Middle East, basically the Gulf kingdoms and Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, to be very much against that. So if we weaken Saudi Arabia, then you strengthen Iran on the other side, which is the catch-22 of our foreign policy in the Middle East in general. Well, while we've been in Syria attacking to destroy ISIS, that benefits Iran. But if you just go after Iran, you benefit ISIS.
You could say that we destabilized the Middle East with the 2001 war, which changed the configuration of political leadership there. And it seems to me that we are keeping the Saudi government, the monarchy, propped up. For what reason? I don't understand. If we're putting a value system on these $110 billion worth of arms over moral or our so-called moral dignity to protect human life, I just find this as an unequal equation. It doesn't make any sense. I just don't understand how we are so indebted to the Saudis. They need us more than we need them. And if you take away the jets, the only thing they have is oil, and we're no longer a oil-dependent nation. We're exporting oil as much as any other country. So I don't get it. I just wish somebody can just tell me what am I missing.
It does feel like there's something else.
There's something going on here. They were 19 of their individuals were involved in 9/11. They had their people flown out of this country, and there's a 9/11 commission report that has never been released as to their involvement. And they were able to keep the pressure on this government not to release that to the American public. Those are facts.
Through both Republican and Democrat.
Both Republicans and Democrats.
That's
true. You're 100% correct. And the American public has a right to know.
Obviously, which is, yeah, all of that is to say that obviously, yes, as you're saying, there's something to it. It's not something that they have on us, but it's the fact is Saudi Arabia, by dint of its geography, is at the center of, first of all, the straits through the Red Sea. So if that place falls, it's a geographic nightmare. As far as access to the Mediterranean through the Red Sea, the canal, the Suez Canal.
That's 45 years ago technology.
It's still shipping lanes. I mean, that's still a very heavily used shipping lane close to where Malaysia, where like most shipments by sea go. It's not a small consideration, but still, yes, the overall point, I think, is that the U.S. has decided that it is on the side of those countries that are Sunni in the Middle East and Arab that are wanting to reform their societies. And the fact is, as bad as the kingdom is, if it were to just fall just to internal dynamics and then be taken over by actual Wahhabi terrorists, in other words, those mm-hmm. that really are behind supporting the Al-Qaeda ideology, then that would be worse. And then if it were to, instead of that, fall to outside forces, well, Iran would love it more than anything else. And of course,
but it does seem like a delicate balance in that sense, and that an incident like this could tip that balance if it gets enough attention and enough. Seems like it is. I mean, I'm just wondering what the motivation would be for these reports to be true that we're hearing that Saudi authorities are preparing to come forward and say that they did, in fact, kill him through an interrogation gone wrong, as they're putting it. And I'm wondering what steps they would take to shield MBS, not have him involved in it.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the United States would have much preferred that none of this ever happened. And of course, it's horrific, and there's going to have to be some form of American response. But at the same time, as you say, are going to have to balance what the long term interest is and what they're trying to do. To literally push Saudi Arabia away just to make a point now. And to push them either toward Russia or China, or to basically to not have them continue in with the reform agenda, which they have been pursuing, of course, not to the speed that we would like, then, I mean, that's a trade-off. As to why they did this, they really, you know, Middle Eastern countries are not like the United States. A lot of times they think they can get away with things and are used to getting away with things that you don't hear. Also, Khashoggi is, he's certainly portrayed as a journalist, but he's not like he's the cleanest person in the planet.
No,
he was. He was a Crown Royal insider for a very long time before he decided to be a defector.
That's a slam against a man.
It's not a slam. That's the truth.
Why is he dirty?
I'm not saying that there's anything justified about this. I'm just saying, let's be kind of factual about what we're talking about.
I'll put it to you this way, Leo. He's the Omarosa of the Crown Royal family.
Fair enough. That's fair. But I like to, I
he worked on the inside, and now he spills their secrets.
Well, all I'm trying to figure out as a lawyer, I'm trying to understand
how Al-Qaeda before 9/11, given his contacts and the interviews that he had there, and the fact that he was really in close with Turki Al-Faisal, the Turkish head of intelligence for decades.
Fair enough. So, my understanding is this man committed no crimes, but I'm just trying to figure out, maybe as a lawyer, how can you die as a result of interrogation? I'd like that term interrogation be explained to me or defined. Yeah, because it's crazy. I don't understand. Are you being questioned? Are you just talking?
It's rendition, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you've any movie from Hollywood may be too sensationalist, but you can see what it's like. You torture for confessions or whatever. It's easy to imagine that type of scenario because that's what, you know, that's the norm in those societies. When you look at
right, it's just hard for us Americans to believe.
No, no, we understand it, but the average American doesn't understand it. That's why I'm concerned with the average American saying you can die as a result of an interrogation. How's that possible? We know what it means. You and I and Lauren know what it means, but to the American public,
Matthew, I don't know how much time do you have. Do you have time to hang out over one commercial break with us?
Sure.
That would be great, because we got a bunch of callers who have some questions for you that you will be able to answer better than I will. We're talking to Matthew Brodsky, Senior Fellow of Securities Group, about the latest on the Saudi Arabia missing journalist case. I'm Lauren Savon. He's Leo Terrell. This is Midday Live.
KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Sponsored by Covered California. Northbound 405, right at the 90. It was an earlier crash. They finally cleared that from lanes. It's recovering now, coming away from the 105, but it was quite crowded. And also on the 210, this is going to be eastbound 210, just past the 605. I've been working on an accident. The left lane is blocked. That now backing up. It's quite heavy from Huntington. PCH at Topanga Canyon. Traffic lights not working properly. Backing up traffic both directions. Eastbound side of the 91 at Raymond East Street. Road work in the carpool lane. Well, that has traffic jam leaving the 5. And also on the West 60, Pedley, you've got the overturned big rig, carpool, and left lanes are blocked. And as a result, that backing up to Market. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Midday Live on this Monday. I'm Lauren Savon. I'm joined by fair-minded civil rights attorney Leo Terrell.
Hello.
Hello.
We've been talking about the latest on Saudi Arabia, and apparently, according to multiple sources now, they are preparing to admit to how journalist Jamal Khashoggi died during an interrogation at the Saudi consulate in Turkey. We've been talking with Matthew Brodsky, the senior fellow and security studies group. And Matthew, what we didn't get to last time that I'm wondering to get your take on is the idea of the economic impact on Saudi Arabia and whether or not it makes any difference. Right now, the markets have dropped in reaction to the news, while big business titans have been pulling out of the Saudi Arabia's glitzy investment conference. Mm-hmm. And now we hear that Endeavor is pulling out of a $400 million Saudi Arabia deal. Will this have any impact?
Change his behavior. This could certainly change the MBS's behavior going forward. I mean, these are the types of things that if you're, you know, it's good to be the king and you're surrounded by your court and you conduct your foreign policy a certain way. When you get this type of international reaction, then clearly something tells you that you need to calibrate that more, which I'm sure he will. Like, is it going to actually crash the Saudi economy? Well, no, but these are certainly, this along with other steps that the United States may take for the short term, may definitely have an impact on his behavior.
And it does feel like this king wants to be considered a modern king and wants to kind of be in the fold of the Western world and have these types of conferences, even if they don't make a dent in his economy, this pullout, it is a message saying that perhaps these business titans do not agree with President Trump. Would it be a way of...
Yeah, right. Right. And he looks, frankly, Saudi Arabia looks awful at this. Throughout 2017, up until very recently, it still kind of continues under the scenes, but between the Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf countries against Qatar, there had been a very large Gulf rift in which Qatar and Saudi Arabia have been spending tons of money, just throwing money on PR firms in Washington, going after each other for what a lot of perceived wrongs that Qatar had done, which is supporting Muslim Brotherhood and basically being in bed with Iran at the same time that it's in bed with the Gulf Arab states.
Matthew Brodsky, I got to end it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me at www.matthewrjbrodsky.com.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Lauren. He's Leo Terrell. Stay with us. This is Midday Live.
ABC News, live and local at 1:30. I'm Rob Marinko. The weekend rain is gone in L.A., but forecasters now shifting their attention to the